Okay, good morning, everybody. So today we're going to discuss, we're not going to do Temin Halacha today. Instead, we're going to do Parsha, because that's what we do on Fridays. We do a little bit of Torah on the Parsha. So this week's Parsha Shelach, the two most famous parts, undoubtedly, I think, of this week's Parsha are the very beginning of the Parsha and the very end of the Parsha. The Parsha starts, of course, with the story of the Meraglim, and the Parsha concludes with, anyone finished Shnayim Mikra yet? I did, that was a flex, but Tzitzis, yes, the Parsha concludes with Tzitzis. So let us pose questions on each part. Ellie, is that what you said? Did I even hear what you said? Did you say Tzitzis?
No, I said the
question. Oh, okay, so it's close. That's close to the end, you're almost done. Let's pose a question on each one of those parts. As far as the Meraglim are concerned, so the Mefarshim all point out a stira in Rashi in the Parsha. On the one hand, Rashi writes about these Meraglim. Who were these people? What kinds of people were they? So he says they were called, the Chumash calls them Anoshim. Rashi says, because Kol Anoshim Shebimikra Loshon Chashivus. Whenever we describe someone or a group of people as Anoshim, we are describing them as very Chashiva people. We are describing them as being really outstanding people. V'osa sha'ach sherim hayu. And at that time that the Meraglim were initially sent, before they made this catastrophic mistake, they were actually ksherim. They were actually really great people. They were chashuvim. In fact, the Baal HaTurim confirms this with the Remez, as the Baal HaTurim often does. The Ramazim of the Baal HaTurim typically reveal to us deep truths. They're not just cute ideas. So he finds a way to be merames to a lot of things. So he points out, shalach lecha anashim sofei tevos chacham. That the last letter in each word of shalach lecha anashim could spell out chacham. You have to jumble a little bit, but it's actually in the right order. It spells out chacham. Shayu chachamim v'tzadikim. Because they were in fact chachamim and tzadikim. So that's on the one hand. On the one hand, anashim, chashuvim, chachamim, tzadikim. This is who we are dealing with. These are the meraglim. On the other hand, Rashi writes on the pasuk, ve'yelchu ve'yavo el Moshe, Rashi writes, Mau vayelchu, what's vayelchu? Lahakish halichasan libi asan. Ma bi asan be'etzara'a af halichasan be'etzara'a. That we are linking the way they returned from Eretz Yisrael with the way they went to Eretz Yisrael. Just like they returned from Eretz Yisrael with some bad ideas in their minds that they were going to share with other people and they were going to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, so too when they initially went, it was all for no good. They were up to no good from the very beginning. And that is what we call a stira, right? That seems to be a blatant contradiction. That on the one hand, they're chashuvim, they're chachamim, they're tzadikim, and on the other hand, we're told, bi'asan be'etzara'a, that they went and they returned halichas, and Biasan were both Be'etzara'a, they were plotting evil the entire time. How do we reconcile that? So that is as far as the beginning of the Parsha is concerned. Now let's jump all the way to the end of the Parsha of Tzitzis. So Rashi comments that the Parsha of Tzitzis is linked to the discussions that precede it. And the discussions that precede it is Avodah Zarah and Chil Shabbos, as Eli noted just a moment ago, because af hi shkula keneged kol mitzvos, that similar to Shabbos and similar to Avodah Zarah, Tzitzis is shkula keneged kol mitzvos. Tzitzis is as weighty as all other mitzvos, meaning the placement of the parsha, its juxtaposition, which I used to think means being put next to something, because I've only ever heard rabbis use that word, juxtaposition. But then my rabbinic intern this year, Rabbi Mori Rosenfeld, taught me that juxtaposition means ironically placed next to each other. Two things that don't actually belong next to each other. So maybe this is not an actual juxtaposition. The closeness, the adjacent of these parshios of Tzitzis together with the Mekoshesh and together with Avodah Zarah tells us something about the unique stature of the mitzvah of Tzitzis, that the mitzvah of Tzitzis is shkula keneged kol mitzvos. The Sifri says, Re'isem oso zchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem v'asisem osam magra kosov shekol makayim mitzvah Tzitzis, that if a person fulfills the mitzvah of Tzitzis, malul av ha'ki'ilu kiyem kol ha'mitzvos kulam. It's as if you fulfilled all of the mitzvos in the Torah. So the Torah associates mitzvos with remembering and associates tzitzis rather with remembering and performing kol mitzvos Hashem. Doing this mitzvah is the equivalent of doing all mitzvos. How do we understand how tzitzis is that important, that it represents all mitzvos? Now, as we've noted in our limud of Hilchos Tzedakah, you know, you could do that with a lot of Ma'amari Chazal, because Chazal, often speaking of, there's an expression that dibru chachamim b'loshon guzma, that the chacham typically speak in very emphatic terms, sometimes even exaggerated terms. So a lot of times you'll have statements about, if you do this, it's as if you're kol hakoes, let's say, it's as if you're ovid avodah zarah. If you get angry, it's as if you're ovid avodah zarah. So really? Is it really exactly the same as being ovid? Let's say someone put a gun to your head and said, get angry, I'm going to kill you. So what's the halacha? Get angry, right? You're not supposed to say, oh wait, that's like avodah zarah. It's yarig val yavar. I'm going to remain perfectly calm and you're going to have to shoot because that's... No, of course not. Meaning it's not actually like avodah zarah. But whenever Chazal draw these kinds of parallels, they're trying to tell us something. So what exactly are they trying to tell us about the mitzvah of tzitzis? In what way, on what level, is the mitzvah of tzitzis considered like all other mitzvahs? Aside from its representation of all mitzvahs, there's also a particular skula of the kedusha inherent in tzitzis. The Gemara in Menachos and Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph tells us that Maisa Ba'adam Echad Shayazoyer b'mitzvah tzitzis. It was a story of a fellow who was very careful about the mitzvah of tzitzis. Shama sheyish zona b'krachayam shonatelas dal meil suhuvim b'schara. He heard of a particular woman of a particular profession who a particular former president used to enjoy, but that used to take 400 zuhuvim. We'll keep it b'lashon nekiya, right? So used to take 400 zuhuvim b'schara shiger la arba meil zuhuvim. So he sent her 400 zuhuvim, the kavalos man, and he made an appointment. When the Zman came, he sat there by the Pesach. So her secretary came and said to her, the gentleman who had prepaid 400 zuhuvim is here. You know, he's good for his money. He prepaid it in advance. So Amrihi Yikanes. So she said, great, let him in. Nichnas, he comes in. He tzil ozayin mitas. Look, he paid a decent amount of money. So she prepares the room with very special cushions and pillows and all sorts of things. And in the end of the game, I mean, we're skipping a little bit. Bo dalet tzitzios v'tavchalo al panav. That his tzitzios came and slapped him across the face. Nishmat v'yoshev lo al gabei karka, so he jumped off the bed, he went and he sat on the ground. Va'avhi nishmata yoshev al gabei karka, she also jumped off and sat on the ground next to him. She never experienced this before. So she said, eini manichaschat shetomli mamum re'isabi. This has never happened to me before, that a man has run away as things were about to happen. What mum did you find in me? Meaning, I need to know this for my future business. Like, what do I need to fix over here? What went wrong over here? She asks him, Amar la, havoda shelo reisi isha yafa kamoscha. I've never seen as beautiful a woman as you. There's no such thing, there's no mum. Ela mitzvah achas tzivanu Hashem Elokeinu. But there's one mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, v'tzitzis shema, and it's called tzitzis. Uksiv ba ani Hashem Elokeichem shtei pa'amim. And it says in the context of tzitzis, ani Hashem Elokeichem, twice, Anihu sha'asu lipara v'anihu sha'asu l'shalem sachar. And that's to remind us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has schar and onesh. Hashem is going to punish us for our failings, and Hashem is going to reward us for those things that we do properly. Achshav nidmu alai kedalet edim. The four corners of my beged, those four sets of tzitzios, they are the four edim that are going to testify for me on the Yom HaDin or against me on the Yom HaDin, and that's what discouraged me from going ahead with this process. She was so moved by that explanation, the Gemara tells us, that she converted to Judaism, she married him, and they lived happily ever after. Fine. Okay. So it's a fascinating story. Obviously, there's a lot of depth to that story. But why is it that the mitzvah of tzitzis in particular was there to maintain this fellow's kedusha? Meaning, what is it about tzitzis that maintains this fellow's kedusha? So again, three questions. Question number one is the stira between the various rashis about who these meraglim were before they went on their mission. Were they tzaddikim on the one hand, where Rashi says they were chashuvim, or were they going be'etzarah from the very outset, like Rashi tells us, like Chazal tell us. Question number two, what do Chazal mean when they tell us that tzitzis is shkula keneged kol mitzvos? What makes tzitzis so important that it's like all the mitzvos in the Torah? And question number three, this wild story that the Gemara Menachos tells us, why is it that tzitzis is the thing, the one mitzvah that keeps this fellow in line? So there is a basic yesod that I think helps answer these questions. You know, there are a lot of different tools that people could have to try to keep us behaving properly and to push ourselves to become better. And we should try to utilize all of them, right? Meaning, as Rabbi Edelstein spoke about last night, our avodah in this world is to be better each day than we were the previous day, to try to improve, to try to grow, and we should use whatever tools we have, whatever tricks we have at our disposal. We should try to figure out. We have to come up with etzos, come up. Kavana b'tfila is really hard, but we have to, we're not going to solve that in a single day. Rabbi Reisman commented recently, he said, I can't prove to you the existence of God, but I could prove to you the existence of Yetzer Hara. He says, here's how I can prove the existence of Yetzer Hara. If you ask me to stand still and focus on anything for 4 minutes, I can do it. But you tell me three times a day to stand still and focus on tefillah for 4 minutes, can't do it. Get distracted every time. Start daydreaming every time. No, isn't that a raya brura to the existence of a Yetzer Hara? So what do you have to do in order to learn how to maintain focus for the 4 minutes that it takes to daven Shemone Esrei? You come up with etzos, you come up with tricks, you come up with ways to do it. We're supposed to use whatever tools we have at our disposal to try to become better, to try to push ourselves. One of the most powerful tools that we have is that when we feel that we belong to something, when we feel that we represent somebody or something that is bigger than ourselves, then we try to live up to that which we represent. You know, to give a silly mashal, as a kid growing up, I remember I was a huge Yankees fan. I may or may not still be a huge Yankees fan. And at every press conference, whenever they would sign a free agent, right? You know, some guy would be offered, $300,000 to play for the Twins, and then the Yankees would offer him $3 million, right? And they would sign him. And at every press conference, he would talk about how the goosebumps that he got when he put on the pinstripes, because putting on the pinstripes represented 100 years of a winning tradition, so it meant something to him. So that's a silly example, obviously, because that, let's be honest, that doesn't matter, right? But when you talk about real things, when you belong to something, when you belong to something that really matters, when you represent something that really matters, it has a way of pushing a person to become better, to become more mature. I mean, to use a still somewhat silly but less silly example, counselors in camp. Some of the, I've seen many times, as when I was a Rebbe in DRS, kids' maturity go from here all the way up to here just by becoming a counselor. How does it help to become a counselor or a madrich? Because up until that point, they were kids. So they lived, they lived down to the expectation of what you expect of a kid. But then they become someone who's a balachrayus. Now they're in charge of kids. Now they're responsible for kids. So they step up. They live up to that. Because now I represent something. Now I represent authority. I represent, what the camp is supposed to represent. And it just means something. It sometimes happens in very overtly and very overt and clear ways. And sometimes these things happen more subtly, right? If a person's an employee of a company that has a strong culture, so they start to represent that that culture. A lot of times, sometimes it's even unfair, meaning the world will see you by that which you represent. How many airlines, someone videos some moron flight attendant that lands in Tel Aviv and says, "Welcome to occupied Palestine," and everyone says that whole airline should be canceled. That person should be fired, but that whole airline should be, meaning, because by definition, you're an employee, you're working for that company, you represent them. Your behavior is assumed to represent that which you are meant to represent. I remember once, a number of years ago, there was somebody who works for YU wrote a letter of approbation, a haskama, for a very controversial book. And the criticism I heard from one of the Rashi Yeshiva, maybe one of the wives of one of the Rosh Yeshiva, was not so much that that the person wrote the Haskama, but that they wrote it on YU stationery. Meaning that they wrote, the letterhead was the Yeshiva's letterhead. You want to do what you want to do, do what you want to do, but you're going to, you, as a representative of the Yeshiva, that you're going to do something controversial. You'll note when Rav Shechter writes Haskamas, so he never puts it on the YU letterhead. He puts it on his own letterhead. It just says Zvi Shechter, whatever, and has his address on Bennett Avenue. But yeah, because a person has to be mindful of what they represent. But this idea that a person is not just an individual, you know, this is part of like what this whole year has been about, the recognition that we're not just an individual, right? That's what the Rambam writes, that a person who does all the mitzvos and has yiras shemayim and behaves properly, but he's not nichnas b'tzarason shel tzibur, and it's lo ichpat lo, it doesn't matter to him what the tzibur is going through, he doesn't enter into the tzar of the tzibur and what the tzibur is going through, such a person is not begeder klal Yisrael. Such a person is begeder not bikores. Because you belong to something. We represent something. Every one of us belongs to something and represents something. And that should motivate our behavior. That should elevate our behavior. The Maral writes in Gor Aryeh about the Meraglin that ba'osa sha'a ksherim hayu. They were ksherim. Aval misha nishluchu hayushluchayim shal rishayim lamdu maseim v'nasu kuma mishal chematzmam. But when rishayim sent them, when the reason they were sent was because people wanted to speak evil of Eretz Yisrael, was because people were afraid of going into Eretz Yisrael, that immediately became what they represented, and they immediately had a downfall. They immediately had a yerida. They were deputized by ill-intentioned people, and therefore they became ill-intentioned people. So that was the turning point. The turning point was not when they got to Eretz Yisrael and they said, oh no, what are we going to do about these giants? The turning point was when they were deputized by people who didn't mean well. Halichasan be'etzara'a. You know, in a certain sense, their own positive attribute of loyalty and responsibility toward those who sent them was the cause of their downfall. The Meraglim were mevatel their own sense of self-interest and sense of right and wrong in order to properly represent those who had sent them, but that ultimately was their downfall. And that brings us to the end of the Parsha. That sense of identity, when used in a positive way, is an extremely powerful tool. And it's the basis for the importance of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tosus writes in Menachos Daf Mem Gimel, Hayirad Meir Omer, Gadol Onsho Shalav and Yosar Me Onsho Shal Tcheles, that the onesh for failure with putting on Lavan strings is greater than the onesh for Tcheles. Mashal Ma Adavar Dome, the Melech Basar Vedam Shamal Shnei Avadav, you have a king who says to two of his servants, L'echad Amar Aveli Chosam Shal Tit, L'echad Amar Aveli Chosam Shal Zahav. He asks one to bring a little thing, a signet made out of plaster or something, and the other one out of gold, U'pashu Shneim V'lo Heviu, and both of them failed in their mission. Eizem Enon Shemaruba, who is going to be punished more severely? It's the one who had the lesser of the two responsibilities. Okay, fine. I don't want to focus right now in the moment, on the difference between Tcheles and Lavan, even though that is primarily what that Maimur Chazal is about. But let's focus just on the simple fact that tzitzis are compared to a chosam. Whether it's Shaltit, Shal Zahav, okay, that's a different discussion. Lavan, Tcheles, but they're a chosam. A chosam is a mark that identifies an eved as belonging to his master. That's what tzitzis are. Tzitzis are that I belong to a certain group of people, that I belong to a group of Ovdei Hashem, and that's going to animate all of my decisions in life. That's going to educate how I'm going to behave in life. And in that manner, tzitzis brings a person to fulfillment of all the mitzvot satara, because it's a reminder of who he represents. You know, part of being an Eved is that we're mevatel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono, that our own desires and wants are set aside for the sake of the Ratzon Hashem. the fellow that was about to be nichshal was smacked in the face with tzitzis. You know, I always thought of that as like, maybe I'm dating myself, and I don't know if you guys even got the reference, but the talking carpet in Aladdin, you know, that smacked, you know, the four corners, it looks like tzitzis. The tzitzis represent putting aside whatever you feel like doing and indulging in whatever pleasure you may be chasing, putting all that aside for the sake of the higher purpose of serving Hashem. And why? Well, how do you build up the courage and the strength to do that? Because when you're wearing tzitzis and you identify with the Ribono Shel Olam, you don't behave in certain ways, and you do behave in other ways. And that's what animates a person. You know, about a month ago, after Lag BaOmer, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I went to one of the army bases that we visited. There was a guy who I noticed a patch on his uniform had a picture of the Beis HaMikdash, on the patch on his uniform. So I said, what is that, like, what unit does that represent? He's like, no, I had these made up. You know, I only had enough money to make about 100 of them. I immediately distributed that. Everyone wanted one. He said, if you know anyone who wants to fund, I would like to make another few thousand because I think there's demand for it. I'm like, you can just put whatever patch you want. I mean, like, he said, yeah. But he's like, you know, keeping my eye on the goal, you know? Like, Hamas keeps their eye on the goal. They have pictures on every rocket and every, and in all their homes, they have pictures of Al-Aqsa Mosque. And they have their eye. Why don't we have our eye on the goal? We should know what we represent. I mean, the whole uniform is representative of belonging to something so much bigger than ourselves, belonging to Jewish history and to Jewish destiny, and to that's what it represents. But then to add that as something on the uniform, I met Rabbi Doron Peretz last week in yeshiva. He came to yeshiva to talk to some of the rebbeim, and he handed me a thing from my desk, which is essentially a picture of the Beis HaMikdash. And he said, we're doing this. He said he was doing a Lezecha Nishmas. His son has the same vart, the same idea. That we know what the goal is. We know what we're looking for. We know what we're interested in. And that's the secret of tzitzis. That was the secret of the failure of the Meraglim. To understand who we identify with, to understand who we are. And as soon as a person really understands that he's so much bigger than himself, that he's part of something so much bigger than himself, that's a major help in getting a person to be able to do the right things, to make the right decisions in life, and ultimately to do great things for Klal Yisrael. Okay, have